You know, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, hopefully you all got a flower and our just little token of saying, you know, we love you and we thank God for you. Mother's Day for me is pretty non-eventful for the most part. My mom passed away 26 years ago, so I haven't seen her in 26 years. And so I reflect on her, you know, think things through. But I remember I had a profound moment with her in her passing. It was unexpected. She had a stroke. And I remember just as she'd passed, and she was no longer actually with us, but I was with her physically. And I remember looking at her hand. And I remember like, oh, yeah, look at that hand. It's like so familiar. It's like, there's that hand. And then I started really reflecting, like, wow, that's a hand that changed my diaper. That's the hand that fed me. That's the hand that hugged me. That's the hand that paddled me. Right? It was like, it was so familiar. It was like my hand. And but it was more than a hand. As I've highlighted, it was a history. It was a value. I mean, I know what my dad's hand looked like, but it's not like my mom's hand. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to see this hand again. It's like saying goodbye to your own hand or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you picture, if your mom's living, of course you can see her hand, but if she's not, you probably can picture what her hand looked like. And it's so significant into what it represents, well beyond just a hand to hold. It's a hand that shapes who we become effectively. Super, super important. In fact, you could argue that it's a gift. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." So we talk about children being our gifts, but going the other way, moms are also gifts to their children and has incredible value and worth beyond just the hand, but what it represents. And so I wanted to encourage moms today with that truth. I've entitled this morning's message, More Than Hands. And we're going to look at why moms are so important. Dads are important too, don't get me wrong. But there's a uniqueness in Scripture that we see as it relates to moms. And so I hope you're encouraged today. We're going to look at a couple different places in Scripture to pull out a couple different truths. But let me set up the first passage, which is actually in 2 Timothy. Now, if you remember, going back, we studied through 1 Timothy, written by the Apostle Paul to Pastor Timothy, who was a ministry partner of Paul, but he was pastoring in a church in Ephesus. Young guy, and you saw when we looked at it, they had a special connection. Okay, so that was 1 Timothy. By the time he gets writing his second letter to Timothy, it's 4 years later, and he's actually in prison in Rome. And it's known as his last will and testament. In other words, you know, he's never gonna see Timothy again. He's never going to talk to Timothy again in person, but he can write him a letter. And so that's what this letter is. So it's very heartfelt. You'll sense that when we read it, first few verses in chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2. "To Timothy, my beloved child." So he's like a spiritual father to Timothy. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God and Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as I did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night." So even though he's in a Roman jail, he's still praying for his spiritual kid. Day and night, he comes to mind. It just highlights, it's not so much the devotion of the prayer, but what should ring here is the fact that he's thinking about him day and night. This is how tight they were. And he says in verse 4, he says, "I remember your tears." Now, we don't know what tears. He just remembers him being emotional. Maybe he had to say goodbye to Paul. Maybe it was when in his ministry. We don't know. But he says, "And I long to see you. Wish I could see you that I may be filled with joy. Like, just the thought of seeing you again is like, oh, that would be amazing. He says, I'm reminded, here's the key, of your sincere faith, your honest faith, your authentic faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So now he's reflecting back. Now he's known Timothy for 20 years. So he's reflecting back 20 years. And he says, you know, I'm reminded of this. In other words, if I'm sitting here in this Roman jail and I'm thinking about you, here's where my thoughts go, 20 years ago. And we get a glimpse of that in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where we're told this kind of more clarity about Paul meeting Timothy. 16:1, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. That's where he met him. And he actually, at that point on, took him on his second missionary journey and took Timothy with him. But I think what's interesting here is what you have is you have him reflecting back. So now 20 years later, Paul's encouraging Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I'm praying for you. I'm reminded of your faith, your sincere faith. I think of how fruitful it is, all the joy to see you, but I'm also reminded of your spiritual heritage. I also remember your mom, Eunice, and your grandma, Lois. I mean, you've come a long way, but the reality is because of your mom and grandma, you've been able to come a long way. And this is the huge truth when we talk about why moms are so important. Number one, take notes, hopefully. They leave a powerful legacy. Moms leave a powerful legacy. The story of Timothy is the story of his mom and ultimately his grandma. And Paul highlights that. He just doesn't stick with, Timothy, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. He's like, nah, you're amazing because of your mom, because of your grandma. So moms, your effort, your work, your care, your investment now will carry on well beyond you. Look at this. We're reading about Timothy. It's carried on millennium for them, thousands of years later, because of moms. I mean, you don't have to look too far in Scripture to see this truth appear. Like, think about the patriarchs of Israel. Think about Moses. Moses is who he was because of who? His mom, Jochebed. If she wouldn't have done that basket thing, hard decision, you wouldn't have Moses today. Think about one of the most famous prophets in all of Israel, and during challenging times when you had King Saul and you had David and you had all that turmoil, remember who was always floating around? Samuel. Remember that? Remember her story? She couldn't have kids. And she prayed to God. God answered her prayer. She gave him Samuel. And what did she do? She handed him right back to God and dedicated him and left him in the temple. Samuel, Moses, moms. Not to mention the faithfulness of Mary, with Jesus, Elizabeth, with John the Baptist. I mean, moms are, your legacy is throughout Scripture, and it's real. For generations to come. Hope that perspective helps you a little bit. Because it's interesting, having talked about this in the role I'm in for the last three decades, I've watched ebb and flow. I watched the season, and some of you that are older, you remember where, oh, you're just a mom? You need to get a job, be corporate. And so then daycares hit, and everybody's dropping their kids off to be raised by somebody else because, you know, you don't want to have value and worth and blah, blah, blah. And then it went through a season where all of a sudden, it wasn't this thing off to the side. Now it was to be included and talked about a lot. right? To where now you make spaces for kids at work, for working moms and those kind of things. And so it seems like it's a very visible topic. Like, in other words, there's podcasts on it, there's books written about it, there's social media, you know, influencers that deal with this. And I mean, but here's the deal. Visibility doesn't mean value. And what we're seeing is interesting. It's very subtle, but it's what we're seeing in polling, is that the role of a mom isn't the role of a mom. Mom becomes part of the role of a woman. So in other words, yes, moms have kids, but also moms have jobs. Also, moms take care of yourself physically. Also, moms take care of yourself emotionally. And it's just this huge burden, of which motherhood is just kind of one of them. But the reality is, when they do polling today, and you can look at different polls, our population is starting to decline every year in our country. In other words, less and less people are having children. So we're talking about it, but we're not stepping into it, which is a value issue, because if you valued it, you step into it. So let's be careful. Let's not be persuaded that, oh, everybody talks about being a mom and it's cool to be a mom now and today. Yeah, but nobody's doing it. And it's the legacy that God instilled in motherhood is to do it. So I guess what I'm saying is it's important, and it's the most important thing. And if all you do is motherhood, that is the most important thing anyway. So you're just giving full time into what's most important. Because why? Because of the legacy you leave. And then that changes things. That changes from how we see things. And I was thinking about it in terms of my little granddaughter. I've talked to you about Autumn. She's my little youngest one, little 2.5-year-old. I got to start seeing her as Mrs. Ambrose. Because that's the legacy. That's ultimately what gets carried on. And when you see that early on, then you start to approach her differently, potentially. And same for all of you moms. You're not changing diapers, you're changing generations. Have you thought about that? As mundane as it may seem, it's as significant more than anything else. I do a lot of memorial services. We don't talk about people's careers. We don't talk about their money in the bank. We don't talk about if they had a boat and 5 cars. We talk about their influence and their legacy. So I hope that's an encouragement, moms. If you're feeling like, oh, I'm just a homemaker. No, you're a generation builder. And you're doing what will impact. That's even, I just say, even think about it in terms of our children's ministry. No, it's not just a time where we watch kids so you can be in here without the interruption of children. We're shaping generations in the other room. It should motivate us all to jump into a children's ministry if we don't have any or have that. Because why? Because we're influencing generations. If you noticed what we pray for, even up here with the moms, we pray for the future. So, why moms are so important. They leave a powerful legacy. Now let's go to our next passage. So this is now in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Now let me give you some context here, briefly. During this time, Gentiles had a perspective on children, and Jews had a little bit of a different perspective. Both felt that kids are to be seen and not heard. They were not important, and they were not invaluable until they were important and valuable, which means they grew up. So if you got a little baby boy, he's not important until he's an older man and now can carry on the heritage of the clan. He can make money. He can do all these things. Before that, it's a burden. It's a mouth to feed. a woman, similar thing, not as important. In fact, there was a very famous letter that was when they were doing some digging in Egypt, and he came across a letter from a laborer to his wife. She's pregnant, and basically the letter said this. He wrote to his pregnant wife in Egypt, telling her to keep the child if it's a boy and cast it out if it's a girl. Why? Well, because the girl doesn't make money like the boy. The best you're going to get is a bride price. So that's even more of a burden. So, you know, it's almost like farming or something, right? We can't afford just to have a horse that we can't ride and is lame. That's a pet. Get rid of it. Put it down. And so there's this perspective. I give you that because it's within that context now that we see Jesus interacting with children, which is extremely countercultural. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they, we're talking about moms now, were bringing children, probably 0 to 3 years old, to him, we're talking about Jesus, that he might touch them. Matthew 19 says, lays hands on them. And the disciples rebuked them. They rebuked the moms. Makes sense, right? What are you doing? We're having an adult meeting here, and moms are bringing their kids and wanting the rabbi to lay hands and bless them. We don't have time for that. It's kind of like having a meeting at your house, and somebody lets the dog in. And he's just running over, and he's jumping on everybody's lap. He's like, what are you doing? We're trying to have a meeting. And the kids at the door are going, sorry, the dog just came. Well, get him out. He's not important to what we're doing. And that's how they viewed it. So, of course, the disciples, they think they're running interference. They think they're protecting Jesus' time. They think they're doing the mature thing and saying, get the kids out. And look what happened. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant. He was angry. He was pissed off. And said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Wow. So not only let them in, now he's highlighting that they got a road to heaven. And there's things to be learned about them. Well, the things to be learned, Jesus already taught them a little earlier in the day in Mark chapter 9, when he took a child, we're told, and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. There's a value there. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. And then he goes along and talks about childlike faith. So he has this whole thing that he's already showed them. And now they have this meeting, and the moms are coming, and the guys are going to get the kids out. And he's like, I just talked to you about this. What are you doing? You're not listening. And he continues and says this in verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Notice it's not like a teenager. A little different parenting there. Keep it the child, the innocent thing. Verse 16, and he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So we don't need to get into all the lessons there about childlike faith and all that, but he's basically elevating a child to be more important than an adult when it comes to spiritual matters. And we effectively see the first child dedication with drama, but Jesus shows how God values children, how precious they are, how important they are. And so he elevates them. So moms, you're not just caring for a child, you're caring for what is precious to God. So the second reason why moms are so important, they fulfill the heart of Jesus. What you do as a mom is fulfilling your role that God created, by the way, and that Jesus values. Psalm 127, verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. So in other words, the Bible talks about in that psalm that our children are like arrows. And if your quiver's full, you're blessed, but you got to point them. And these are kids, and so you got to point them. You got to parent them. And in highlighting that this is the goal. And if you noticed, every time we prayed for a family, we prayed that they would trust ultimately Jesus as their Lord. And we're pointing them to the Lord. because that's the heart of Jesus. How many of you are watching the Ducks in the playoffs? Sorry, kind of bringing it up. It's a stale topic. I know, sorry, hooray. It didn't look very good last night. But, you know, it's not over. But I'll tell you one thing that you see right away, and I've watched all three games. The Ducks, they're playing the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So, one thing you see right away. They're out skating them, the Ducks. They're faster. They're out shooting them. But the goalie on the Golden Knights is what they call standing on his head. You can't get anything past this guy. I watched one game. I came into it about 10 minutes into the first period, and it was like shots on goal, 13 to like 4. The Ducks had 13. The Knights had 4, and the score was 2-0 Knights. And so you see really quick, and I've known this over the years because both my boys played ice hockey and watched it, and that you win the Stanley Cup when your goalie is insane and nothing can get past him. If stuff can get past him, you're not going to win. I'm going to argue, spiritually speaking, moms, you are the goalie of the home. And moms have been known. Dads have been known to, yeah, whatever. Moms, you ain't going to get this puck past me. And that's important, and that's valuable, and that's critical, because that wins. May not be popular at the time, may not be the nicest person at the time, but it wins. Think of it this way. Maybe this is helpful. Moms, you're in ministry. Your role of raising a child is a calling and a ministry to the Lord. So think about it in terms of ministry. If you're a pastor at a church, things get hard. You got to make tough decisions. Things are a blessing. Sometimes things go well, sometimes don't. But you stay in it because of why? You're serving the Lord. And so when things get challenging, moms, you're serving the Lord. When you don't want to get up in the middle of the night, you're serving the Lord. When it's frustrating and your child doesn't, or now they're getting older and they're sneaking around, you're serving the Lord. And you keep that perspective, you stay locked. And to know that you're pleasing God, even when your child, when they get older in the teen years and stuff, and you know you're not pleasing them. So where's your bearing? Your ministry. I don't know. Maybe that helps. Maybe it doesn't, because it can feel lonely. I remember reading that survey, and it said 95% of moms feel unseen and undervalued. Well, probably because they're looking for value from somebody, and nobody's around, so you're unseen, except who? The Lord. He's around and he's watching. And so now it can be an act of worship, even though no one's around. And then God will meet you in those private, quiet times and fill you with peace and fill you with joy, even though there's screeching going on in the other room. More than hands. Because it leaves a legacy, a powerful legacy, and it fulfills the heart of Jesus. I'd like to ask all the moms to stand, please. Proverbs 31 says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." In other words, recognize moms, bless them and praise them, and we want to do that and for you this morning. So thank you, Mom. I just want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for each mom that is standing or maybe even watching online. Well, before that, Lord, I know that the significance of this is so profound. I pray for moms that want to be moms but maybe can't be because whatever, biologically you can't have kids, or maybe there's a mom out there that has lost a child. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for peace. I pray for you to fill that deep, deep void, to where Mother's Day can even be a triggering time. Lord, can you go beyond that and please supply in a supernatural way? But for each mom that is standing, grandma, great grandma, Lord, I thank you for that gift for them. They've shaped it. They've changed culture. And they're changing it as we speak in their mothering. And Lord, I know their mothering, whether the child is 6 months old or 50 years old, there's always the piece of motherhood that is in there. And so bless them today, Lord. May their afternoon just be full of joy, whatever the plans are to eat or do whatever, that it's more than just a day, but they are really celebrated and feel celebrated, especially by you, Lord. So thank you for them. Thank you for their hard work. Thank you for their legacy and their ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week.